Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this 20th of March, 2012. As I discuss the Sweet 16 up and coming on this on Thursday, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can always follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or find me at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. As I had a little reverb there in my microphone. As we taking care of that. Okay. Sorry about that. And, you know, it's two of me now. Apologize for that. As I've lost all train of thought now. That just threw all the show's over. Show's over. Cancel. Goodbye. Good night. Show's over. No, show's not over. You go to my website at CyrilGeraldQuinn.com to find the beginning. No, you won't find the beginning of this program. The beginning was all it was awful. Outside the Kanye and Jay-Z opening. But you can find audio interviews I've done with one, of course, Mark Malusis, amongst others, at CyrilGerald.com. Also find my latest blog, Wilt and the Chosen One. So if you're a LeBron James hater, I think you'll like that one. We're going to begin, of course, with the up-and-coming Sweet 16. And when you look at the Sweet 16, you got a nice mix. You still have 11 of the top 16 seeds left in the tournament. You still have all four with number one seeds. First time since 2009 that has occurred. You have the heavy hitters in you know, Kentucky, Michigan State, North Carolina, Syracuse, you know, Kansas, Baylor. So also even Marquette to a lesser extent, you know, Louisville. So there's still a lot of powerhouses left in this tournament. Cinderellas. I mean, you have Ohio, and, you know, Ohio, Xavier, North Carolina State. So you got what you wanted out of the first weekend. Now, you know, minus the Kendall Marshall injury, which for North Carolina fans certainly makes you nervous and about their chances for a national championship. So minus that, you got, I think, everything you wanted out of the first, you know, 5 days of the tournament. You know, you had big upsets. You had the powers that be. You had the big-time schools advancing. And now it should play out for a great Sweet 16. And there's still the potential. There's still the potential for some big-time regional final matchups. I mean, each regional final, you could have either a 1-3, 1-2. So I think that this tournament has provided everything that you can ask for out of a tournament. Again, minus the Marshall injury. And also minus some spotty officiating, in particular with the with the foul line call with the foul line violation in that Notre Dame Xavier game. So, but you know, that happens. That happens this time of year. Four Big East schools, four Big Ten schools. The Big Ten has really shined. They were considered to be the best conference all year long. You have Wisconsin, Michigan State. Wisconsin, Michigan State, despite the fact Michigan got put out, Ohio State and Indiana in the mix. Any one of those schools has a legit chance to get to the Final Four. You also have four Big East schools and two ACC schools, with Duke, with North Carolina and North Carolina State being the lone two ACC schools. Also, interesting story, and a story of semi of redemption, so to speak, for two schools who were, for one, at least one day, the, and, you know, what college basketball was, it does not represent. And that was, you know, Xavier and Cincinnati. Everybody remembers back on December 10th that brutal fight that they had, that, you know, you basically had Xavier's coach, you know, basically Cincinnati's coach basically, you know, questioning whether or not he should be the coach and threatening scholarships. And that was an ugly situation as those two teams went at it. I believe the game was at Xavier, but those two teams went at it, and you know, now they both find themselves in the Sweet 16. Xavier has quietly, if it's possible, been in the Sweet 16 four out of the last 5 years. I mean, Xavier has turned into one of the best mid-major tournament teams out there. I mean, it seems like every year. You know, every year Xavier finds themselves going deep in the tournament. They kind of sneak up on people. This was an Xavier team that people didn't talk about too much. Started out well, but then the fight really popped the air out of their balloon, and they are peaking right now at the right time. So a dangerous team moving forward. So, you know, the thing you look at with this tournament, and of course the big question mark, and it is part of our poll question of the night, is Kendall Marshall. And the poll question of the night, by the way, is should Kendall Marshall play? And I have some interesting thoughts on that. But that is the poll question of the night. Should Kendall Marshall play? Marshall, of course, fractured a bone in his wrist, his non-shooting wrist, his left wrist. Status unknown. It'll be a game time decision. North Carolina, of course, is preparing as if he's not going to be there. His father, who is, you know, basically has become his PR person. I mean, every tweet, whether it's on Twitter, quotes, you know, text messages, his father. You want information about Kendall Marshall, just go to his father. His father comes out and says, fasten your seatbelt, whatever that's supposed to mean. If I were Kendall Marshall, I wouldn't want my father saying anything. I mean, surgery. You know, one thing to say he's going to have surgery. You can't hide that. But just don't say anything about the injury. Don't say anything on his status, whether or not he's going to play. Just, you know, just kind of sit back and let this thing play out. I don't see how you can fracture a bone in your wrist and be effective as a point guard. And I get that he is up until the last, you know, six or seven games, is really not an offensive-minded point guard. He is the epitome of a pure point guard. That's what makes him so good, is he is looking to set other people up with his passing. But, I mean, anybody's played basketball, you got to use both hands. I don't care if you're a left-handed dominant or if you're a right-handed dominant, you got to cross over. You know, you got to, you know, shooting the ball with your guide hand. I mean, you got to have two – pretty good. You got two good hands. So, I don't see how he could be effective and still go out there and perform. We'll see. Again, I get the sense that he will try to go and he'll suit up. Again, how effective he is remains to be seen. It has come out basically that, you know, Kentucky and everybody else. Like, Kentucky is just this overwhelming favorite. Again, I don't see it. I mean, I don't. Do they deserve to be a favorite? Yes. Do they deserve to be like? Is this like UNLV 91 or Duke 99, or, you know, even to a lesser extent, North Carolina 2009? I don't know. I don't think they deserve to be that, to where they're just this dominant team. I understand they're talented, but again, this is a team that has never. You know, this is a team that, you know, still is mostly freshman and sophomore dominated. I mean, let's be honest. How many seniors are on that team? So, you know, we'll see what happens with Kentucky. They have an interesting matchup against Indiana. Indiana, of course, beat them on a buzzer beater back in Bloomington on December 10th. So we'll see how that plays out. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, the special edition. of the review as we go from 68 to Sweet 16. When we come back, we will break down the South with Kentucky and Indiana, headlining that matchup, and we'll also talk about Baylor and Xavier. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome.
11 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, looking ahead towards the Sweet 16, which will resume on Thursday night. Of course, Friday, Kentucky and Indiana will square off in the South Regional semifinal down in Atlanta. This is one of these classic matchups in terms of the history of college basketball. You have two schools who have combined to win 12 national championships. You know, Kentucky, Indiana annually, I still believe, play that high school game where they have Kentucky All-Stars versus the Indiana All-Stars. Two states, you know, that are just, you know, basketball rich, and it's been a while since Indiana has really been relevant, to be honest with you. Indiana hasn't made a serious run in a tournament in about 10 years. Back, you remember, in the 2002 season when Mike Davis was coaching, and they made it all the way to the national championship and law, of course, fell to Maryland in the title game. Listen, Indiana is one of only two teams that watched Kentucky walk off the floor as a losing team. And to me, you know, everybody's pointing to this revenge factor and, you know, Indiana's going to get them and Kentucky's going to get them and, you know, this, you know, that motivation. Bottom line is Indiana knows how to beat Kentucky. Now you can say, hey, December at Indiana, yeah, but they still beat them. Okay. And they went toe-to-toe with them. That wasn't a fluke. The guy made a great shot. They put themselves in a position to win. And that was that. So I give Indiana certainly a puncher's chance in this game. You know, Indiana has a lot of shooters. Tom Crean has done an excellent job with turning that program around. And you know, this is the first time, again, that they've been relevant in over 10 years. Kentucky is not unbeatable. This idea that Kentucky is just this dominant team and just, you know, everybody, you know, the tournament should stop and just hand Kentucky the trophy. I mean, give me a break. Again, I like Kentucky in this game. I do think their front line is a little bit too much for Indiana. But would I be shocked if Indiana won this game? No, not at all. Baylor and Xavier play. Baylor, I think Baylor's playing their best basketball of the season. Or they've gotten back to the team that they were when they started out the season 17-0. I like how they're playing right now. Again, they had that front line. They have a lot of sides on the front line. They have good guards. You have a guy who can absolutely shoot the light, Heslip, that can shoot the lights out. So they have a lot of nice pieces. They're athletic. They're the type of team that, to me, will give Xavier all kinds of problems with their athleticism. Again, Xavier is always dangerous in these type of games. They've been a good tournament team. But I think Baylor will be just a little bit too much, and I think you will see a Kentucky Baylor Elite Eight game and that regional final. I think that'll be a good. I think that'll be an excellent game. I think Baylor has a kind of size and athleticism that will that can match up with Kentucky's front court. Now, you know, can you know will they be able to get enough points out of the backcourt? That remains to be seen. And also, which Baylor team will show up? That's why you would have to favor Kentucky in that game because Baylor has been tremendously inconsistent this year. There have been times where they've been soft mentally and physically, but when they're at their best, they're certainly capable of beating any team in the country. So I expect a Baylor Kentucky final. And now this region, I say 3 to 4 teams can get to the Final Four. I don't think Xavier can. I think Indiana could beat Kentucky and beat Baylor. I don't think Xavier can beat Baylor and then either beat Kentucky or Indiana. I can't see them putting together back-to-back good games in a row. But it should be an exciting region in the South down Atlanta as we head towards the Final Four. When we return, we'll go west and see if Michigan State can make yet another Final Four appearance. We'll talk about that when we return on this latest edition of the Cereal Corn Review, 68 to the Sweet 16. We will be right back. After the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cereal Corn Review, 347-215-6180 is your call number. The poll question of the night is, should Kendall Marshall play? Kendall Marshall, of course, has the fractured wrist, had surgery on Monday. Status is still uncertain. Roy Williams says they're preparing as if though he will not play, which, you know, you have to do if you're a head coach. And you know, we're gonna see. I'll say it'll be probably, I don't know, a game day decision. I'll say it'll probably be a game day decision. North Carolina probably won't let you know for gamesmanship purposes up until game time, but they'll know as a team probably that morning or their final practice, maybe that the last practice before the game, you know, on Thursday. So they'll know early. Probably will wait till the last minute to let you and I know whether or not Kendall Marshall will play. I'll say he'll suit up, try to give it a go, and see what happens from there. Listen, the one thing you got to keep in mind, the reason why you cannot dismiss him is everybody has a different tolerance of pain. So, yeah, I mean, certain guys react differently to injuries. You just don't know. I mean, Terrell Owens, you know, broke his leg, came back and played in the Super Bowl, you know, and was arguably the best player on the field outside of Deion Branch. So, you know, different guys react different. You don't know Ken. That's why I didn't totally dismiss Kendall Marshall for the fact that he might play when the injury occurred. Because I'm like, you don't, this guy could be a quick killer. You just don't know from one individual to the other. But it certainly is looking bleak for North Carolina without their floor general not being, certainly won't be nowhere near 100%. We're going to go west. We're going to go west where Michigan State will play in Phoenix. It'll be Michigan State versus Louisville, and you'll have Marquette versus Florida. These games will take place on Thursday. Michigan State, Louisville, it will be a defensive battle. Both of these teams are very good defensive teams. I think Michigan State's sides will be the difference. their size, and frankly, they had the best player on the floor in Draymond Green. He is a guy who is certainly capable of getting a triple-double. He is a guy who is to me, is the X factor in this game. I can see both teams struggling offensively at times, but to me, he is the difference. Louisville is a scary defensive team. I mean, you can make a case that Louisville could be the best, maybe outside Kentucky, the best defensive team remaining in this tournament. Problem with Louisville is they have trouble scoring, and they go through these long droughts in terms of scoring. I don't see them being able to afford to do that against a pretty potent Michigan State offense. Michigan State can beat you, and Michigan State can beat you many ways, can beat you in many ways. It can beat you ugly. It can beat you also going up and down the court. Michigan State would love to get up in transition and run against Louisville. I think Louisville again is a team that turns you over with his defense. So I think the faster pace will favor Michigan State. I like Michigan State in this game. I picked Michigan State to go to the national championship, to win the national championship. So I'm not going to go away from that pick. Right now. As far as the second game goes, number 3 seed Marquette taking on all of a sudden hot Florida team, which is a 7 seed, which I thought was a little bit too low myself. I know they were inconsistent, but this was a team that was ranked in the top 12, top 15 for the majority of the year. I understand the SEC was weak, but this Florida team has a lot of weapons. They have excellent guards. They have a number of guys that can get hot from three point range at any time. Florida's playing great right now, but to me, the difference in this game will be the physicality of Marquette. The physicality of Marquette in terms of rebounding, they really defensively they're tremendous. They can switch. They can switch off any pick and roll. They are a great defensive team. I think Marquette wins this game. I think it'll be a very close game. So I think you will get a Michigan State Marquette regional final, which will be a great game. A great game, which certainly Marquette has more than a puncher's chance to win. I think Marquette has been kind of under the radar a bit in the Big East due to all the attention that Syracuse received, with going undefeated, starting out the season undefeated for a while and being in top two for most of the season. I think this is a Marquette team that has a legit outside chance of possibly winning a championship. I wouldn't pick them, but they're on that fringe of teams that can possibly win a championship. So I like a Michigan State Marquette regional finals. But you look at this bracket, I think three of these four teams. I'll say Michigan State and Marquette can get to the Final Four. It'll be Michigan State and Marquette. I don't think Louisville and Florida can put together back-to-back games and get to the Final Four. I don't trust them. Louisville has been – both Florida and Louisville have been very inconsistent. I definitely don't trust Florida to play back-to-back great games. I don't at all. But certainly Michigan State and Marquette, to me, are the clear favorites in this particular bracket. When we return, we'll go east, where Syracuse tries to continue his run without Fab Melo. And, of course, we will finish off in the Midwest with the Tar Heels and the Jayhawks. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Coin Review. We'll be right back.
Remember you when you drink now. Why can't we be friends?
25 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Serial Coin Review, this special Tuesday edition of the Serial Coin Review, as we discuss the upcoming Sweet 16, which will resume on Thursday. I think, you know, the coverage of this has been great. Now, you had to flip channels about 20 times in terms of keeping up with all the games, especially the first weekend when you have so many games going on. This will be, like, now the coverage, when you have CBS, CBS, True TV, and all these stations, will be perfect as far as, you know, as far as these games goes. Like, being able to see every game, you know, going to one game after if another game gets away and the team pulls away, going to the close game. I think now you're going to really be able to take advantage. Now you can really take advantage of the coverage with all these channels in this particular weekend. First weekend, yeah, you can to an extent, but still, it could be three or four close games going on at the same time, and you have a tough time depending on which team you're rooting for to kind of, you know, pick which game to watch. Now, you know, I think, you know, it'll be perfect with the Sweet 16 coverage. Then we'll go to the East bracket, where again you have the three of the top four seeds still alive. Syracuse taking on Wisconsin in the 1-4. Everybody, I mean, this is the classic contrast of style type game. Syracuse wants to get in transition, get up and down the floor. Wisconsin wants to control tempo with that, you know, deliberate style. Bo Ryan wants the game to be played in the 60s and 50s. Syracuse certainly wants it to be in the 70s and 80s. And I just feel that, you know, I don't look at this Wisconsin team as being a vintage Wisconsin team. I think they're pretty good. I thought it was a major hurdle for Syracuse to beat Kansas State and get past that first weekend without Fab Mello. I thought it was big. I thought they possibly could get picked off in that second game with the quick turnaround in terms of preparation, and also with the fact that Fab Mello was gone. Now a week to prepare, getting used to playing without him now. So I like Syracuse. I think they're certainly the deeper of the two teams, and I like Syracuse to get to the regional final, where they certainly play the winner of Cincinnati, Ohio State. I like Ohio State in this game. I thought Cincinnati has done a tremendous job just to get this far, but to me, Ohio State with Kraft and Sullinger and some of the guys, you know, Thomas, the way he's shooting the ball, I think Ohio State, this is a classic one versus two bracket. I think you will see both Syracuse and Ohio State get to the regional final. I mean, listen, Cincinnati, you know, Yancey Gates, they have streaky shooters. The problem with Cincinnati is, again, how streaky their shooters are. And if they can't make threes, then they're going to have a hard time generating offense. Again, Ohio State, again, is not a great three-point shooting team. But, you know, you have, with Thomas and Buford, you have enough shooting to open up things for Sullinger. And Sullinger is an okay three-point shooter, but you want him in the post. So you have enough shooting to kind of keep a defense honest. Sullinger, clearly the best player on the floor in that particular game. Syracuse will probably have probably the three best players on the floor. I mean, you talk about Deion Waiters and Chris Joseph in their particular game. So I'll take Syracuse and Ohio State to meet in the regional final in the East bracket. When we return, we will close out the brackets, look at the brackets with the Midwest final, the bracket that probably has the most question marks when you think about it, considering the Kendall Marshall injury. We'll take a look at that and much, much more on this last edition of the Serial Coin Review. We'll be right back. Thank you. 31 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this special Tuesday edition of the Silicon Review, 68 to the Sweet 16 tournament. Three-fourths of the tournament is done, amazingly. That's how it goes by that quick in that first wild weekend. And, you know, you had, you know, Friday and Saturday, you had some great Friday, Saturday. You had some great games, in particular on Friday with what transpired with the upsets of the number two seeds. And again, so far it's been, an excellent tournament. Again, having 11 of the top 16 seeds still around, all four number one seeds. The Kendall Marshall injury has kind of opened things up a bit. And so I think so far the tournament has been a very good tournament. And the last bracket we get to is the Midwest. North Carolina, Ohio, NC State, Kansas. NC State, Kansas is an interesting matchup because you see 11 versus 2, but it is much closer than that. NC State, to me, and I had them in the Sweet 16. The more and more I watch this team, the more and more I like them. I mean, the versatility with the big man being able to handle CJ Leslie, Wood, you know, Scott Wood, the shooter. I mean, this team has a lot of nice parts and versatility. They're playing their best basketball right now. That they really, you know, could have easily won that Carolina game in the ACC tournament if not for that non-charging call on Kendall Marshall. So I think they're going to beat Kansas. I've not been impressed with Kansas in this tournament. Purdue should have beat Kansas as far as I'm concerned. North Carolina State, again, this is not a vintage Kansas team. I don't think Kansas can win a national championship. And I don't like this Kansas team. I just watched them enough this year. I know they won the Big 12 regular season tournament, but again, I'm just not in love with this particular team. And I like NC State in this particular game. I think when you have big men that can put the ball on the floor and can make shots, I think that will take Thomas Robinson out. Might cost him a few rebounds here and there. And again, I think ultimately somebody like CJ Leslie has a chance to have a big game. And I like NC State. I just like the karma right now of NC State. You know, you get certain teams who are just on a roll, who have a magic to them. And I think NC State has that right now. No pressure. Okay, they've already exceeded any expectation with how far they've gotten here. I mean, remember, when they lost to North Carolina, people were questioning whether or not they would be in the tournament. Like, they were definitely a bubble team, certainly a bubble team, and now they find themselves in the Sweet 16 for the first time in 2005. Mark Godfrey has certainly done a great job with turning around that program. UNC Ohio, listen, I understand Kendall Marshall's hurt. I don't think they need him against Ohio. Again, Ohio, you know, we all know Clark Kellogg's son is on there. They've had two excellent wins versus against Lehigh, as well as Michigan. South Florida. Let me get that right. I guess Michigan, South Florida. I don't think they can score enough points to beat North Carolina. The one misnomer about North Carolina is that they don't play defense. This North Carolina team, now, I don't think they're as good as 2005, 2009, but they are better defensively than either one of those teams. They really are. I mean, with Henson, you know, when you got that between Henson and Zeller down low, if you can't make outside shots, you have no chance to beat North Carolina because you're not going to get any offensive rebounds. Number one, and two, they're going to block a ton of shots. And again, I don't see Ohio beat North Carolina. You know, like I can't see Ohio just being able to score enough points. Now North Carolina might not get 80 or 70, but I can see North Carolina winning a game like 63-49, something like that. I mean, North Carolina is a much better defensive team than people are giving them credit for. I mean, I hear Greg Anthony talk about they don't play any defense. I totally disagree. I mean, I think North Carolina has overall played very well defensively. Now, they had games where teams have lit them up far as from the three-point line, but imagine, they are 31-5. So, you know, I think they're a better defensive team than they give them credit for. I don't think they frankly need Kendall Marshall to win this game. So I like North Carolina and North Carolina State, and which should be a just knockdown, drag out fight. You're talking about two teams going at it for the fourth time. North Carolina State playing his best basketball, the familiarity of the ACC, the Kendall Marshall, he'll certainly, if he was a question mark going into this game, he'll certainly be a question mark going into that regional final. So I think you're going to get an all-ACC regional final with North Carolina State and North Carolina. When we come back, we will wrap up the program and talk about the overall, we'll talk about the overall big picture of the Sweet 16 and NCAA tournament. We'll be right back. After the 8 o'clock hour, we're on this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Of course, follow me at twitter.com/William Jura or also hit me up at facebook.com/Cyril Quinn. Of course, the poll question of the night was, should Kendall Marshall play? My answer to that is no, and a resounding no. I don't see how effective he can be with basically one hand. To me, that decision should have been made probably early in the week. So you got that much. So the team wouldn't have been wondering whether or not he's going to play. Because let's be honest, if you're a teammate of Kendall Marshall, I'm sure he's been saying, you know, I'm going to try to play. I'm confident. Things of that nature. So subconsciously, no matter what Roy Williams comes out and says, we're preparing without him. Subconsciously, you believe that he can play. So what if you get out there on Friday, and all of a sudden, okay, Kendall can't go now. That, to me, mentally deflates your team, so to speak, and gives Ohio that much more of a chance, which they already have a much better chance, probably a 10 to 15% chance better than they did before the injury, or maybe even 20% chance in terms of winning before that particular injury. So, just get it out the way. He's not going to play. We can win a championship without him. Move on. Even you might not believe that in your heart of hearts, but still, that's what you have to sell to your team if you're Roy Williams. This, hanging in the balance, fasten your seatbelts, the wonder, I think that can wear on the team, especially college kids. If these were professionals, I would say, professionals are resilient. It doesn't matter. They'll just keep it moving. But these are college kids. These are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. They are not able to handle that kind of emotion as a professional could, as a pro player could. So I would say don't play him and just take your chances. I really would. He gets out there, try. You could be giving more play time and more practice time to somebody who's going to replace him. And again, it's more psychological than anything. More psychological than anything. It's like, to me, you have to have that football mentality. Next man up. We're going to go with, we're going to go with our backup and just keep it moving. Again, overall, I think that we're going to get some great Sweet 16 matchups. I would say that, again, NC State will be the only team, double-digit seed, that makes it to the Elite Eight. I don't see Ohio. I don't see Xavier making it. I don't see Xavier, I don't see Ohio or Xavier making it to the Elite Eight. I still believe that there are three teams that can win it all. I think Kentucky can win it, of course. I think Michigan State can win it. And I say North Carolina with a gigantic question mark, of course, still can't eliminate them from a possibility of having a chance to win a national championship on the fringe of that, you know. And I get, you know, Syracuse, I guess, yes, I would say four, because I guess you have to throw Syracuse in there as well. They're very deep. You know, depending on the matchup, maybe they won't miss Fab Melo as much as they would. Again, that depends on who they match up with against. You know, they play, you know, Carolina, or they play, I mean, they play Kentucky. You know, with that size, it'd be hard, you know, they'd be hard pressed to beat a Kentucky team without Fab Melo. So I think there are about four teams that can win the championship. I'm gonna give you a team in lower than a fourth seed that if I were to, you know, you made me choose a team other than those big four, then somebody outside the top four seeds to win a championship, I would say NC State. You know, I like NC State this year. I like how they're playing. Again, I like the karma. That, you know, they would be a team. They don't get fooled by that 11 seed. They, even as much as they struggle, they probably should have been a 8-9. They're not an 11 seed. There's no way that team is an 11 seed. No way. So the committee, to me, completely got it wrong with that. With them being, you know, with that seeding, that team is much better than that. Again, I think they're going to beat Kansas, and they have a legit chance to get to the Final Four. Matter of fact, I mean, you look at it, you can make a case for three out of four teams in that Midwestern bracket can get to a Final Four. Ohio, there's no way Ohio is beating North Carolina, the combination of any combination, North Carolina, Kansas, North Carolina, or North Carolina State. I just don't see it happening. Again, Ohio is the team that is happy to be there. Now, Xavier's been there a couple times, so I'm not even going to put Xavier in that boat because they've been to the Elite Eight before. But Ohio, they are just happy to be there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They could lose by 100, and it's still a situation where they had a tremendous season. Listen, a MAC team hadn't gotten to the Final Four, excuse me, to the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16 since 2002. You got to go, you know, remember who was on that team, Kent State, Antonio Gates. Before he went to the NFL. So that's been a long time. That was a long time ago, 10 years. So it's not too many times that MAC teams even make it this far. We'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. I will see you Saturday with the Saturday morning wake-up call. We'll break down certainly Friday, Thursday, and Friday's action. Look ahead to the Final Four. Excuse me. Look ahead to the Elite Eight and I'll give you my Final Four picks. Forget about my bracket. My bracket is absolutely finished, so I don't even want to talk about that at all. But, again, enjoy the rest of your night. I will see you Saturday. So long.